Let's try that again. Happy Sabbath, everyone. Very happy to be with you this Sabbath. I know that God has been good to me. How about you? Has he been good to you? Well, if you truly believe that God has been good to you, let me hear you say, God is good. And how often is God good? All right. So whereas things are not going good in our lives, but the one constant is that God is good. Amen? Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, good to see you. Good to see you. Good to see you all. Well, like I said, I'm very happy to be with you. I want to thank Elder Gonzalez for inviting me to come and share with you once again from the Word of the Lord. One more question. How many of you have your Bibles with you? Very good. You know, in AY, we usually say sword in hand. Anyone remembers that? Sword in hand. Let me see all the swords in hand. Sword in hand. All right. Very good. Very good. We can't go to the battleground or battlefield without bringing our weapon, can we? We're in a warfare, and therefore we need to have our sword ready. We're going to be using our sword throughout this message, so please have it handy. The title of the message this morning is The Fireproof Book. The Fireproof Book. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Loving Lord, we invite your Holy Spirit to take charge at this time, that as I open my mouth to speak your words, you will speak through me. Bless our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. The Fireproof Book. You can agree with me that the Bible has come under severe attack. In fact, it has always been under attack. Satan somehow doesn't like this book. But I'd like you to journey with me as we examine this story of the Bible. You see, one of the daring claims that the Bible makes is that it cannot be destroyed. Did you hear me out there? This claim is made with the same finality as the claim that God is its author. How many of you believe that God is the author of the Bible? Amen. Now, by this claim of indestructibility, the Bible makes an irreversible committal. It burns its bridges behind it. It risks its all. Now, we must agree, and we ought to agree, that the survival of the Bible through the ages is very difficult to explain if it is not in truth the Word of God. You see, books are like dying men, are like men, dying creatures. A very small percentage of books survive more than 20 years. Yet a smaller percentage lasts 100 years. And only a very insignificant fraction represent those that have lasted or lived 1,000 years. Yet amid the wreck and ruin of ancient literature, the Bible stands out as a last survivor of an otherwise extinct race. And the very fact that the Bible continues to exist is an indication that, like its author, it is indestructible. No other book has provoked such fierce opposition as the Bible. Its preservation, it's perhaps the most startling miracle connected to it. But the reason why the Bible is preserved is because God had proclaimed, as the young man read and repeated from our scripture, Isaiah 40 verse 8, it says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of God shall abide for how long?" All right, I want you to talk with me. The Bible makes it clear that the word of God lasts for how long? Just as the three Hebrew boys passed through the fiery furnace and they came out unscorched, neither were the hair on their skins singed. Therefore, the Bible has come through satanic hatred without the smell of fire upon it. And just as earthly parents treasures and lays by letters received from his children, so our heavenly Father has protected and preserved the epistles of love written to his children. When we bear in mind the fact that the Bible has been the special object of never-ending persecution, the wonder of the Bible's survival is changed into a miracle. Not only has the Bible been the most intensely loved book in the world, but it has also been the most bitterly hated book in the world. I want to say that again. On one hand, there are those who love the Bible more than any other book in the world, and I think we have some of those in this church today. Amen. But then on the other hand, we have those who bitterly hate the Bible. So the Bible is loved by some and hated by others. Not only has the Bible received more veneration and adoration than any other book, but it has also been the object of more persecution and opposition. For 2,000 years, man's hatred of the Bible has been persistent, determined, and relentless and murderous. Every possible effort has been made to undermine faith in the inspiration and authority of the Bible. And innumerable enterprises have been undertaken with the determined effort to consign the Bible into oblivion. Imperial edicts have been issued to the very effect that every known copy of the Bible were destroyed. And when the measures failed to eliminate the Word of God, then commands were given that anyone found with a copy of the Scriptures was to be put to death. And the very fact that the Bible has been singled out for such relentless persecution causes us to wonder at such a unique phenomenon. There's got to be something about the book. Why so much effort will be put into trying to get rid of the book? You see, no one has gone overboard or tried so much to get rid of other books, but they've done so with the Bible. It is because there's something about the book. I want to say again, although the Bible is the best book in the world, yet it has produced more enmity and opposition than has the combined contents of all of our libraries. Let me say that again so we can all get the picture of it. If we could combine all the books in our libraries across the world on one side, all these books have not generated as much hatred as the Bible on this side. That means there's something special about the book, wouldn't you agree? There's something about the book why so many opposers are against this Bible. This one book, compared to all the books in the world, has so much opposition and persecution and hatred. And when you talk about it, people turn up their noses against you. I want to say, one of the reasons why the Bible is so hated is because the Bible, unlike other books, convicts men and women of their sins. And human beings do not like to be told when they are wrong and how they need to make a change, that the direction they're going in is leading them to hell. Human beings don't like to be corrected, and so there's a hatred against God's word. But the Bible tells me that if it's not for the word of God, I would not know sin. David said it this way, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not what? That I might not what?" So there's something about the word. You see, the word of God has power. What does the word of God have? It has power. The word of God has transforming power. It can take your life and turn it around. It can make the drunkard sober up. It can make the crooked straighten up. It can make the liar speak the truth. The murderer can change his heart. In the place of hatred, love will exist. That's the power that is in God's word. And that's why there's a hatred against God's word. See, God's word does not condone sin. It condemns sin, not the sinner. It tells that there's love with Jesus, but the sin needs to be gotten rid of. Human beings refuse to give up on sin, and therefore they hate the word of God. But the Bible tells me, and David said it this way in Psalm 119 verse 9, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the word of God." So I want to let you know here at Wayne, if anyone wants to change your life, the only way the change can come about is through the word of God. Did you hear me out there, saints of God? It is only through the power that is in God's word that the change can come about. You and I can't change ourselves. The Bible makes it clear, can a leper change his spots? Can the Ethiopian his skin? No, they cannot. Then we which are accustomed to do evil, neither can we stop doing evil. It is only through the power of God that we can turn from our wicked ways. That power we find as we study God's word, it becomes that transforming power in our lives. The Bible tells me, thy word, this is what Job said, thy word I esteem better than my daily food. Somehow we got to see the importance of God's word and the power that is in God's word. And when we make it a part of our lives, there will be the transformation. So there's something about God's word. Therefore, human beings have been consigned to get rid of it. And so we find this political and ecclesiastical powers have united in the attempt to put the Bible out of existence. Yet their concentrated efforts have utterly failed. Did you hear me out there? Their concentrated efforts have utterly failed. Let me go through some history with you as we look at some of the efforts that have been attempted to get rid of God's word. You see, after all the persecution of the Bible, it is, humanly speaking now, a wonder that there is any Bible left. Every engine of destruction which human philosophy, science, force, and hatred could bring against a book has been brought against the Bible. Yet it stands unshaken and unmoved, unharmed, right up to this day. When we remember that no army has ever defended the Bible. No king has ever ordered its enemies put to death. At times, nearly all the wise men and great men of our world have been pitted against the Bible, and only the poor and the beggarly have been in support of the Bible. Yet, with all this opposition, the Bible still stands. There's something about the Word of God. You see, the Bible, as its author, is indestructible, so is the Bible. Just as our God cannot be destroyed, just as our God cannot cease to be God, then the word of God shall stand forever and ever. Now we find this also. The cities of the ancients were lit with bonfires made from Bibles. And for centuries, only those who were in hiding dared to read the Bible. How then can we account for the survival of the Bible? In the face of all this bitter persecution, the only solution is found in God's word. I want you to turn with me to Matthew 24, verse 35. Here's what Matthew 24, 35 says. These are the words of Jesus helping us to understand why the Bible still exists today. Here's what Jesus says. I want you to read it with me. Matthew 24, verse 35. Here's what it says. Have you found it? If you found it, let me hear you say amen. Let's read it together. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall what? My word shall what? Now, when we got up this morning, was the heaven still up there? When we walked out of our homes, was the earth still here? But the Bible is saying, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away. So even when Jesus comes and we have a new heaven and a new earth, his word shall stand forever and ever. Somebody ought to say amen out there. So in spite of the opposition against God's word, the word of God will stand forever. Back in the days of the Roman Empire, those emperors, Diocletian to name one of them, he thought because he had killed so many Christians, burned so many copies of the Bible, he had gotten rid of Christianity. And in honor of his feat, he said, let us make a medal and inscribe on this medal, Extincto Nomini Christianiorum, which means Christianity has been abolished. The emperor thought that he had gotten rid of what God started. You remember when Saul was going down to Damascus Road and Jesus met him on the way and stopped him in his tracks and said to him, Saul, Saul, it is hard for you to kick against the prick. You can't fight against God and win. It's better we get on the side of God, because if we fight against God, God will fight against us. So the emperor thought that he had gotten the victory, but the Bible tells me that the word of God shall stand forever. He proclaimed that Christianity, the religion of Christianity, has been destroyed and the worship of the gods have returned. I wonder if he should be alive today to see that the Bible has been the most sold book in the entire world. I wonder how he would feel to realize that Christianity has transcended time and territory, and that in every place there is a Seventh-day Adventist church. Somebody did the same out there. But centuries followed centuries, and the Roman empires went off the scene. But the Roman church, the Catholic church, took up that old quarrel against the Bible. Here's what history tells us, brothers and sisters, that the church forbade the people from having the Bible. Only the priests had access to the Bible, and then they were now able to interpret the Bible to the common people in a way that they saw fit. That's why there are so many traditions of the church that the folks are following which are not founded in the Word of God. Like, for example, the day of worship. The Bible says, remember the seventh day to keep it holy. But the church says, we by our authority have changed it from Saturday to Sunday. Today we have millions and billions of people worshiping on Sunday because of what the church did. And so the church kept the Bible from the people, and it is called the period of the Dark Ages. You know how the word was preserved? I want to let you in on this. And parents, I know your children are downstairs, but I want you to let them know this. One of the ways that God preserves his words, little boys and girls memorize whole chapters of the Bible so that the word can be preserved in the mind. You see, when they got rid of the physical copy, they can't get rid of what is in the mind. That's why we are told to study to show ourselves approved unto God. These days we're coming just to get a feel and go on our way, but we need to dig deep in God's word. There was a time when other denominations were afraid to talk to Seventh-day Adventists, afraid to discuss the Bible with them, because they knew that Seventh-day Adventists knew the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. But these are the days when they'll engage us because we don't know what we believe. The reason why we don't is because we're not studying as we ought to. Find all the time to study other stuff, but not the Word of God. Come on, somebody. But I want to let you know that God went through all the trouble to preserve his Word for a reason. It is his love letter to you and to me. So these popes and priests, they burnt those who had copies of the Bible. In fact, I am told, and you probably have heard of this fellow called William Tyndale. Have you heard of him? William Tyndale, his New Testament translation of the Bible was burnt, and later that year, he himself was strangled and burnt at the stakes. Martin Luther, you've heard of Martin Luther, haven't you? Martin Luther's translation was publicly committed to the flames in Germany. There has been a relentless opposition against God's word. And in spite of the relentless opposition, it is only God's word has not only survived, but it has consistently triumphed over its enemies. Now here's another fellow. For those who are historians, they'll tell you, we've heard of this guy called Voltaire. Have you heard of Voltaire? Now here's what Voltaire said. Now, Voltaire, for those who have not heard of him, he was this witty French literary genius. He's a genius. But I want to let you know that, you know, in the eyes of God, worldly wisdom is foolishness. Did you hear me out there? You see, in the eyes of God, he recognized that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And therefore, for those who do not fear God, they are not wise. In the eyes of heaven, they are foolish. But in the eyes of man, they are wise. And so he's called a literary genius. But here's what he had to say, which tells me that he's not smart. Because if he was smart, he would have known that those who oppose God will utterly fail. Here's what he said. Here's what Voltaire had to say. Voltaire said, I am wary of hearing people repeat that 12 fishermen founded Christianity. I will show the world that one Frenchman is sufficient to overthrow it. Now I want to ask you this, saints, right here at Wayne, how wise was that statement? Was that wise? Because he's saying, I'm tired of hearing about Peter and James and John and these guys who are fishermen and how they founded Christianity with Jesus. I'm sick and tired of hearing this stuff. I'm going to show the world that one man can overthrow what was founded by these guys. If he was wise. It's the same thing I usually say about Belshazzar. When Belshazzar had that party for all his lords and invited them to come in and had the party and all the drinking and all the revelry, if he had read what happened to his grandfather, he would not have done what he did. But I say the same thing about Nebuchadnezzar. If Nebuchadnezzar had remembered what happened to Pharaoh when Pharaoh said to Israel, I will not let you go because I don't know your God, then Nebuchadnezzar would not have done what he did to the Hebrew boys. But somehow men think they can rise up against God and prevail. I want to let you know, saints of God, the God that we serve, he is called the omnipotent God, the almighty God. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. No weapon formed against him shall prosper. So here's Voltaire talking nonsense that he can get rid of Christianity. But I want to let you know this. Here's something that I found, saints of God. In 100 years, he said, the Bible will become extinct. Lord have mercy. I want you to hold up your Bible. Let me see. Hold up your Bible. Let me get mine. Let me get mine. Mine is in my hand. Sword in hand. Now, Voltaire said, in 100 years. Now, I'm going to let you know when he said it so you know that the 100 years have already passed. This was in the 1700s. So, 100 years have passed. Now, here's something else. During the same year, during what time? The same year, 1750, the British Royal Museum purchased a New Testament copy of the Bible for $510,000. Let me help you understand what that means. They didn't even purchase the entire book. They purchased just the New Testament. Only 27 books in the same year, a hefty investment of $510,000. That's in 1750. Lord have mercy. Only to find out that Voltaire's 92-volume set that he wrote was auctioned a few years ago for 9 cents a copy. The fellow who said, I'm going to get rid of Christianity. I'm going to get rid of the Bible. The Royal Museum said, we're going to invest in the Bible and procure the Bible because the word of God is true. It shall stand forever and ever. When Voltaire's stuff was auctioned off, it was only for 9 cents a copy. But you know, that's not the funny part of it. Let me tell you what's the funny part of it. Here's the funny part of it. Voltaire, the same house, the same what? The same printing press, the same what? The same house, the same printing press that he was using to print his books against the Bible became the Geneva Bible Society. I tell you this, God has a funny sense of humor. Huh? The same house, the same printing press. God took control of it and made it his own. Somebody ought to say amen out there. That's what I'm here to tell you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. When you're on the Lord's side, he will stand up for you. I'm told if you stand up for Jesus, he will stand up for you. And from that printing press, millions and millions of Bibles have been sent across the world. You cannot stop God's program. We serve a mighty God. Now, let me hasten on. Let me tell you about this other fellow called Thomas Paine. You must have heard of him. Have you heard of him? He wrote this book called The Age of Reason. You see, we're just coming to our senses. And he's saying, let me tell you something. Here's what Thomas Paine had to say. In 1795, he arrogantly proclaimed the Bible would be out of print in his lifetime. I don't know what's wrong with these guys. I know the funny thing is, we go to school and learn from these guys. Lord, have mercy on us. I've heard Ellen White said this in one of her writings. that we have so much to learn, but much more to unlearn. Because the stuff we've learned from these fellows, they are contrary to the will of God. And we bring that stuff to church, and that's why we have chaos in church. Just this week, I was watching this clip. And this is now, I want you to catch this. This is a doctor of divinity, a professor, assistant professor at Northern Caribbean University in Jamaica. And here's what he had to say. I know him personally because he's from my home church. So when I was growing up as a boy, he was there as a grown man and went off to whatever. Now he's an associate professor. Here's what he had to say on one of those hard talk radio shows in Jamaica, TV shows. He said, the Bible has thousands of errors. You should be alarmed. I'm going to tell you why you should be alarmed. He's one of us. This is not a Sunday pastor. This is not an atheist that's speaking, a Seventh-day Adventist. Now, he's an assistant professor of religion. What does that mean? He's what? He's teaching who? Who's he teaching? Pastors who are coming out to tell us that you can't trust the word of God. Because this is what he said on the talk show. He said that the Bible has so many errors to the point that we don't even have a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy of the original. That's how far we are from the original that we don't even have a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. You know that story of the woman caught in adultery? You know the story, that very familiar story? He said that is not in the Bible. It wasn't until 900 years after they inserted that in the Bible because it sounds like something Jesus would have done. One of ours. An article came out in Message Magazine to let us know that many of our leaders and teachers in our schools are not Seventh-day Adventists. So what do you think they're teaching our children? What are they teaching our children? Watering down the gospel that we're supposed to stand up for. Now, I've been told, Ellen White said it this way. She said, we have more to fear from those that are within, from those that are without. So for years upon years, there's been opposition against God's word from the outside, and they have failed. So what has Satan done? Satan says, I'm going to go join them. Then I'm going to cause them to now question their faith. See, Thomas Paine, with the Age of Reason, he said, when I'm done, there won't be even 5 Bibles left in America. Hold up your Bible again. Let me count them. Let's count them. Come on now. Come on now. I'm just going to count this side. Hold up this. Let's see if we get more than 5. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right, we got 6 over here. I'm counting. That means Thomas Paine, his prophecy didn't come through. But here's the thing. Here's the interesting thing. And this is what they don't want to tell us. Thomas Paine, when he was on his deathbed, he made a request. He screamed out in agony. He begged God. He begged Jesus not to leave him. And he pleaded and asked for forgiveness that he wished he had never written the Age of Reason. No weapon formed against his book shall prosper. The reason why I stopped by to tell you about this stuff is because I want from this day onward that you hold the Bible close to your heart. It's not just a book. God didn't go through all of this just for a book. This is his love letter to you, Judy, and to me. Pastor, it's to you and you and to me. So he has preserved it at all cost so that you and I can have it today. Hallelujah, somebody. And so we find this, saints of God. Here's what we find as I try to wrap this thing up. Here's what we find. Atheism went up against the Bible. Nazi Germany under Hitler went up against the Bible. Here's what Hitler said. Hitler said, Providence has ordained that I should be the greatest liberator of humanity. He goes on to say, I am freeing men from the restraints of morality. You know, we are bogged down by morality. Somebody told me that my church is too restrictive and it's too radical. So they told me. That's because it tells me I can't eat certain things. Hello, somebody. It tells me I can't dress a certain way. Hello, somebody. It tells me I can't go to party on Friday night and then come to church on Sabbath and sing hallelujah. Hello, am I talking to somebody here? Because it tells me these things. I can't be a homosexual, live that lifestyle and go to heaven. I got to make a change. Hello. You heard the story about the bisexual pastor that just came out the other day, right? From our church, eh? All this craziness that's going on. She said that she has been against the church's beliefs because the church stand up against homosexuality. She was one of our pastors. Lots of crazy stuff going on. That's why I stopped by to let you know that what you believed when you got baptized is still good today. You all hear me out there? There's no changing with God. He says, once a thing leaves my mouth, it shall not come back to me void. I am God, I change not. You see, we try to humanize God and bring him into the 21st century, but I'm here to let you know that God, he knows no end, no beginning. He exists throughout eternity. So nothing takes him by surprise. Therefore, he has protected his word so the church can have a guide in these last days. You can't trust people in these days, but you can trust God. Amen. And therefore, my brothers and sisters, Hitler tried to free us off the moral restraints of the Bible. He said, I'm going to get rid of Christianity and no one will seek it again. Well, Hitler is what? Come on now. Hitler is what? Hallelujah. But where's the Bible? Still alive. Hallelujah. 1950, communism tried to get rid of the Bible. It was militant, atheistic, a sworn opponent of the Bible. But even our time, now let's talk about our time real quickly. Our time, what Satan is doing, he is trying to get us to use our wisdom to reason away the Bible. Lord have mercy. He says now, you know, you can have a Bible, but as long as you don't read it, I'm all right. You can have it on your phones. You can even have all the versions you want. As long as you don't pick it up and read it, that's all right. And then when he have us pick it up and read it, he creates doubts and confusion. So this one says, no, that's okay. This one says, that's all right. So it creates confusion in the church. Because if I should ask you right now, for instance, as an example, on the issue of women's ordination, the church is divided. Huh? Am I talking the truth? Church is divided. But why are we divided? The Bible, we weren't divided 100 years ago, 200 years ago. When the apostles founded this stuff, we weren't divided on the subject. But Satan said, let me bring in some confusion. So I throw that one in there. And then the church came out with a document last year about how to relate to homosexuality. It said, they called it a new look at homosexuality. That we should allow them to get baptized and hold membership. But we were settled on things like that a long time ago. Because the Bible declares it's against God. But as the devil said, let's throw that in the equation. Create some confusion. Stir the pot. Because as long as they're caught up with these subjects, they won't study the Bible. They'll just debate and debate and debate and debate. And so let me get at these young people. Young people say, we want a different type of church. We need a church that's more entertaining. We need a church that has all of the music. And I'm not talking about your music. I love your music. This is heavenly music right here. But you go to some of our churches, it's like a bedlam of noise. Satan says, let me just bring in that inside here. And so the older folks are against the younger ones because there's a disconnect as to the way we worship. Satan says, let's do that stuff. Let's create confusion. As long as that is happening, the church will not be united and I have nothing to fear. But I want to let you know, saints, that in spite of all of Satan's efforts, God will triumph. Amen, somebody. God will triumph. And so here's why. I want you to take your Bibles in hand. Hold it in your hands. We're going to do an exercise now, and then I'm going to close. Keep it in your hands. Here's what I found, saints of God. If you don't have a Bible, borrow somebody's Bible. Take out your phone and turn to the Bible. You need to have some sort of Bible in your hand because we want to make a statement to the devil this morning. Amen, somebody. We want to let the devil know that in spite of his efforts against God's word, we are standing up on God's word. Here's what I find. The indestructibility of the Bible lends further proof that it is 100% infallible. The Bible has transcended centuries of skepticism, weathered the test of time. Here's what Bill Kimball said in his book, The Book of Books. It has successfully withstood the repeated attacks of atheistic philosophers, the schools of higher criticism, modernists, liberal theologians, rationalists, humanists, scientific skepticism, communists, and every conceivable brand of heretic. Everyone, Andrew, that has set themselves against God's word, the Bible has prevailed. Oh, hallelujah. Like the phoenix, the indestructible mythological bird, the Bible rises from the ashes all the time. Diocletian is dead. Voltaire is dead. Thomas Paine is dead. Hitler is dead. All of these are dead, but the word of God lives on. Your Bible's in hand. Hold it up. Sword in hand. Hold it up. I'm going to ask you to do this exercise with me. I'm going to make a statement, and here's what I want the church to say so that the devil can know that as a church at Wayne, we stand on the word of God. Now, can I get your cooperation? Oh, that's only if you stand on the word of God now. All right. If you stand on the word of God, here's what we got to do. So I want you to hold it up and say, there it stands. Let's practice that one. There it stands. Let's do it again. There it stands. All right. So I'm going to make some statements, and at the end of each line, you say, there it stands. All right. Let's go. Centuries follow centuries. There it stands. Empires rise and fall and are forgotten. There it stands. Dynasty follows dynasty. There it stands. Kings are crowned and uncrowned. There it stands. Despised and torn to pieces. There it stands. Storms of hate swirl about it. There it stands. Agnostics smile cynically. There it stands. Profane punters kirikiri against it. There it stands. Unbelief abandons it. There it stands. Higher critics deny its inspiration. There it stands. Thunderbolts of wrath smite it. There it stands. The flames of hatred are kindled against it. There it stands. Hallelujah, somebody. Radicalism rants and rave against it. There it stands. Fogs of sophistry conceal it temporarily, but there it stands. The tooth of time gnaws but makes no dent in it. There it stands. Infidels predict its abandonment, but there it stands. Modernism tries to explain it away, but bless the name of God, there it stands. The word of God stands forever and ever. Somebody ought to say amen out there. The Bible is impervious. It is imperishable. It is impregnable. It is indissoluble. It is invincible. You and I cannot destroy God's word. It surpasses all other books despite its enemies. It has been translated into about 2,000 different languages, circulated by billions of copies around the world. You go on the airplane, there's a Bible on it. You go to a motel, there's a Bible in that small drawer beside the bed, in spite of what folks are going to the motel to do. Hello, somebody. There's a Bible there. Doesn't matter where you put your foot, there is a Bible there. They have taken it out of school, but guess what? They can't take it out of my heart. So when I go to school, the word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. They can take it out of government. They can debate as much as they want, but I want to let them know that this country belongs to God, and one day God is going to take it back. thousands of times, the death knell of the Bible has been sounded. The funeral procession have been performed. The bell has been rung that the Bible is dead. The funeral procession has started. But somehow, that corpse never stays still. And this uncanny thing that Conrad said, that the Bible has this uncanny ability of showing up at its own funeral. They've dug the grave. They've sung the burial song and they've made the committal statements early. And the Bible comes and says, hey, what's going on over here? It has that uncanny ability to show up. Remember in France for 3.5 years it was dead in the streets? But then life returned into it and it woke up. Walked up again on the streets. That's the word of God. Why? Because God is in charge of his word. Now, someone here might not believe all that is in God's word. But the mere fact that it has survived for these thousands of years should let you know there's something special about the book. You might have questions about certain parts of the book. I want to let you know that there is no error with God. The error is with our interpretation of what it says. But if we seek the Lord in prayer, he will explain all things to us. Satan hates the book, Mike, but God loves that book. He has preserved it for you, Jenny. All because he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. Loves all of us. And there are certain promises he had made in that book that he wants you to keep in your heart. He says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. We're living in chaotic times. America is on the verge of war and chaos is all over the place. But he says, let not your heart be troubled. He believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, are what? And if it were not so, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, what's going to happen? And do what? So I'm not too concerned about what the president is doing in America. You hear me out there? This is not political talk, and I'm just letting you know that this is not my home. Somewhere beyond the blue, there's a mansion for me. Somewhere beyond the blue, I'm longing to be. I see my Savior's face. Tell of saving grace somewhere beyond the blue so we can have all of the border security we want. We can build walls as much as we want. We can have travel bans as much as we want as long as I'm not banned from going to heaven. All I need to do is to make sure that my passport is right with Jesus. That his blood is stamped in my passport and that my visa is secured with Jesus. And one of these days, when the golden morning shall approach, I'm going to get my wings. I don't need American Airlines. I don't need United Airlines. I'm going to get my wings. I'm going to take off. Bid this world goodbye and forever be with Jesus. That's what the good book tells me. That's what the book tells me. So I find hope in the book. How about you? Things may be bad, but one day it's going to be better. Amen, somebody. And that's why it keeps me going on. So as hot as the battle is, as tough as things is, because Jesus says, I'm coming back again, it gives me hope. And no matter what you do, I'm not going to leave this faith. No matter what you say about me, I'm not going to turn my back on Jesus. Because the good book tells me that he that will come, and will not tarry. I'm looking forward to seeing Jesus. How about you? If you're looking forward to see Jesus, I want you to stand to your feet. But also I want you to stand to your feet if you believe and trust the word of God. Just raise your hand if you believe and trust God's word. Yes, there may be some grammatical errors. That's all right. But it is God's inspired word. The things I used to do, I do them no more. It's because of the word. You've been there, haven't you? Huh? So you know that there's a power there. Let no one confuse you. Study for yourself. Your eyes are closed, your heads are bowed. We're going to pray. Loving Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the preservation of your word and the comfort that you give to us through your words. You promise that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. You promise that even if mothers turn against your children, yet you will not turn against us. You promise that you are our bread. You are our water. You promise that you are a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You promise us. You promise us. Because you are true to your words, we're claiming all these promises and we're running with them. Somebody here might have had doubts, might have been questioning. I want you to speak to that heart this morning. Settle their doubt, alleviate their fears, and let them trust in thus saith the Lord, despite what those in authority may say and leadership may say. May they rely solely upon a thus saith the Lord. We look forward to the time when Jesus shall come. It is my desire that all of us be saved in your eternal kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.